45. Here we go. Kof Gimel Mal Cheshvan, Thursday the 1st of November, Rabbi Shmuel Kimchi, the four keys.
Morning, Murad Rabosai. If you take a few, there are handouts over there. You might need a handout. And I heard just before was talking about Mashiv Aruach Murad Agashem. And Mashiv. And very good. Geshem, as opposed to Goshem. For some. Yeah. But Mashiv Aruach Murad Agashem. And I'm always reminded, of course, of the famous statement I heard in the name of the Sfas Emes. Mashiv Aruach Murad Agashem is Mashiv Haruchnius and Murad Agashmius. As we enter, it's all about Ruchnius and Gashmius, and as we enter the winter period, especially when the rains come, the crops are going to be growing, we're reminding ourselves that the Ikar is the Ruchnius, not the Gashmius. And I'm hoping, of course, that we will get to the four keys. And that's the second sheet. The first sheet actually says the four elements. I want to give a bit of an intro, and then we're going to look at two different things this morning. And we're always pressed for time, but I'd much rather aim high, you know, and get as much as we can. And that's what we're going to do this morning. You know, I came to London on Sunday, and unfortunately my aunt passed away. So my parents flew out straight away to Eretz Yisrael. And as the week unfolded, I see Mr. Steinbach sitting there, and he had also yesterday a tragedy, a loss. And I was thinking a lot about life. And in fact, the name of the parasha seems a little bit paradoxical, that Vayuchaye Sara, Vatoma Sara, and it's really all about the kavura of Sara. And just like Parshas Vayechi is about the Misa of Yaakov Avinu, even though, of course, we know Yaakov Avinu lo meis, there's no mention in the Torah of the Misa of Yaakov, just Vayigva, Vayosef Elamov. But it's interesting that in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi and Parshas Chaye Sara, the word Chayim is the name of the parashas connected to Misa. And my question number one for this morning is, why is that? Why is it that the name of a parsha which introduces Misa is called Chayim? Chaye Sara and Vayechi. And Chaye Sara, and that's particularly, it's a famous question, it's not my question. Question number two is that the word Chaye Sara sounds like a plural. Some people have pointed out that Chaye Sara can be read in the plural, and the question is, why is that? And that leads us on to question number three, which is Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the word Kefel. Machpelah means double, right? And why? What does Rashi tell us? Because there are zugos buried there, they're buried in couples, or there is an aliyah, there are two floors. But we know, Shema, you know, that the names in Yiddishkeit aren't just b'mikra, they're be'etzem, there's something deeper going on here. Asked Moshe Shapiro in a shir, I heard from him 6 or 7 years ago, why is it that Ma'aras HaMachpelah is called Machpelah Kefel? It can't just be the incidental fact that there is there are two floors in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. What is really going on? And the last question, which is really the most important question, so there are four questions. Yeah, the paradoxical name. The second one is Chaye Sara is plural. The third one is Machpelah. And the fourth question, which is a very important question, is if we look at the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, right? There are different ways of enumerating. Rashi's got a way, the Rambam's got a way, and Rabbeinu Yonah also in his Perush on Pirkei Avos, Asar Nisyonos, Nisnaso Avraham Avinu, he's got a Perush which says that the 10th test, unlike the other Rishonim, wasn't the Akedah. The 10th test was burying Sarah. And the question that everyone asks on Rabbeinu Yonah is, I don't understand. I understand. Okay, Lech Lecha. Vayhirav Ba'aretz, you get there and there's a famine, and then his wife is taken from him. There are levels until finally the Akedah, right? That Vayelakim Nisa es Avram, es Pincha, es Yechidcha. Ato Yodata, now I know Ki Yare Elokim Ato, that you are a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Chosachto, es Pincha, es Yechidcha. What greater accolade can be? And then he comes back and, okay, so there's Ephraim. Why do we need the burial of Sarah as the Nisayon? Why is that Nisayon after the Akedah? In what sense is that a higher test than the Akedah? Akedah Yitzchak. How does Rabbeinu Yonah have the chutzpah to enumerate number 10 as the burial of Sarah instead of the Akedah? That is not, again, none of these are my questions. I'd like to speak a little bit for 2 or 3 minutes about it, but I want to look into a very interesting yesod that Rav Chaim Vital introduces to the world of Machshava, and that Rav Volba and many others latch onto as a very, very important yesod. But just as a preamble to that, what does the word kefel, kfela, actually mean? It means double, but it doesn't just mean double, it means an exact copy. It means an exact replica. Ma'aras HaMachpela, says the Zohar, is the entrance to Gan Eden. What does that mean? What that means is Kefel. Whatever we do down here is replicated in Shomayim. It means as follows, and this is explained by Reb Chaim Friedlander in his little footnotes on the Das Tvunos, when the Ramchal in Das Tvunos tells us that the Mishnah says, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. The Mishnah says that the Schar Mitzvah is a mitzvah. We all learned in first grade, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah means there's a mitzvah train, right? Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. And as part of Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah, and that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos means, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, right? You do one mitzvah, another mitzvah comes along. Says the Ramchal, not like that at all. Ramchal says, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah means the Schar of my mitzvah in Olam Hazeh is that very mitzvah in Olam Haba. We don't understand what that means, but when I keep Shabbos, my reward is going to be Shabbos. It's going to look like Shabbos, it's going to have the color of Shabbos, the smell of Shabbos, the taste of Shabbos, whatever that is, it's going to be a Shabbos dik schar. When I go to work and I'm a lawyer, or I'm a rabbi, let's say I was a rabbi, and I go and I teach Torah during the month, at the end, money is delivered into my bank account. Is there any correlation between the shear that I get, that I gave on Ovidinish Dino Lanashe, or not? Yeah, that's what we're learning in Baba Kama. That a person, you know, can take the law into his own hands. That is one sugya, but does that have any correlation to the shekels I get delivered into my account? Zero. Zip, nothing. There is no correlation bechlal between my avodah and my schar. It doesn't work like that when it comes to ruchnius and gashmius. My avodah here has an exact replica in the world of ruchnius. That what am I actually doing by doing a mitzvah? I am being machpil, I'm being matik, I am copying it up into a higher world. My body is a na'al to my neshama, and as I do a mitzvah down here, I put on tefillin, that tefillin changes into tefillin type schar in Olam Haba. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, says the Ramchal, the schar of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Ma'aras HaMachpela, someone's car is being alarmed. Yeah, the schar of the Ma'aras HaMachpela represents to us that reality. The reality is that when I do a mitzvah in Olam Hazeh, I get a reward up in Shamayim. Oh, great! Gewaldig! Shkoyach! That is be'etzem the beginnings of understanding Ma'aras HaMachpela, Gan Eden, Chayei Sarah, the lives of Sarah, that tzaddikim afilu b'misason nikrim chayim, that even through their death they become alive, because over here they've understood clearly that every single thing I do, every moment of my life is simply an opportunity to transfer gashmias into ruchnias. That is it. That was the gate to Gan Eden, is that reality, that understanding, and that's why on one level, Chaye Sarah Vayechi is all about their lives, because Be'etzem they taught us that this world is simply a way in which I'm able to get to the world to come, but every single detail that I do in this world is meaningful in the world in upstairs in Shamayim. And it's very interesting, I saw that the Rokeach points out that the first person to be buried in Maras HaMachpela is Sarah. Oh, Adam Chava, you're right. But he points this out. Yeah, Adam Chava, you're right. But in the Avos, the first and the last of the Avos to be buried in the Maras HaMachpela is, I guess after the Kinyan, I don't know exactly, is Sarah, and the last is Yisrael. And they come from the same roots, Srara, of a struggle, right, of being able to be misnase, but at the same time living that struggle. And that's exactly that battle that we have in Olam Hazeh, that we're on the one hand, we're struggling, but on the other hand, we're able to overcome. And that's the avhus, that is the fatherhood of our avos and imahos, and we'll see. But that's why, if we notice that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin, tells us, shows us the Siddur, describes to us the Shmona Esrei, and actually says that the process of Shmona Esrei, actually maps out the future history of the Jewish people. Hashivah Shofteinu, there's first going to be a Sanhedrin, and then there's going to be a Tzemach, there's going to be V'Yerushalayim, you know, and ultimately there's going to be the Avodah, right? In other words, there is a process in which Mashiach is going to come. But it's very interesting that the first and second bracha also have got a correlation, or should have a correlation. The same correlation should apply with Avos, and then Tchias HaMesim, Machaya HaMesim, that there is a progression from what the Avos have taught us to the notion, the idea of Tchias HaMesim. All this, it's a little bit high, it's a little bit like abstract Torahs, but I want to get to a very, very important idea, very important Yesod over here. And that is what Reb Chaim Vital wants to teach us. How many elements are there in the periodic table? Anyone did science for high school? Yeah, periodic table. How many elements?
106.
It used to be 106. I've got news for you. It's every couple of years they discover a new element. I think they're up to 117 right now. There are roughly 117. Am I right? I don't know if anyone. About 117 elements nowadays. But my question is, yes. Elements, gold, silver, chemical, you know, oxygen, hydrogen. On the periodic table, there
basic
are
chemicals.
Yeah, basic chemicals. There are simple. That's right. Simple. There are about 100. But what states can all these elements come in?
Three.
What?
Just three.
Only three. What are they?
Gas,
liquids, and solids. Solids, liquids, and gas. We all right. How does water, yeah, even though it's a compound, how does water comes in a solid, ice, or liquid, or vapor, gas, right? Everything comes in either a solid, or a liquid, or a gas. Say Chazal, many years ago, actually there are four Yesodos, and we're all familiar with this. There's earth, which is a solid, there's water, which is a liquid, there's ruach, which is wind, which is a gas, and also there's ash, there's fire, plasma, which isn't on the periodic table, but it acts on everything. There are basically four elements. And if we look at them, each of these four elements have got basic characteristics, and each of these four elements represents something different, says Reb Chaim Vital, in us. If you have a look at your sheets. Oh, do we have sheets in front of us? Which one? Oh, the one that says elements. You look at the source number 2. I don't even know if we have time really to read it out. We don't have time to read it out. He said the Medrash Rabbah 2,000 years ago describes how the world is. There's a core which is earth, and then on it there's water. Around that is avir, is air, and the shemesh, the fire, is right on the top. It's almost like there's concentric circles of these elements. There's earth is the heaviest, water lies on that, air is lighter, and fire is the lightest. And there are 4 different elements that we deal with. But actually, it's only 2. There are 2 elements, but 2 battles. Fire. What's the opposite of fire? Water. And what's the opposite of earth? Wind. Yeah? Fire and water are opposites, and wind and earth are opposites. How are fire and water opposites? One is hot, one is cold. One goes up, one goes down, right? One, fire puts out water, water puts out fire, right? Also with wind and earth. Right now, there is a battle between this Aron HaKodesh and the wind in this room. You see, there's a battle over here. My breath is pushing against the Aron HaKodesh, but the Aron HaKodesh isn't falling over. Why? Because the Aron HaKodesh is stronger than my wind. But if it was a hurricane, the hurricane would beat the earth. There's always a battle between wind and the physical object. Says, I believe it's the Vilna Gaon. He says, Bereshis bara Elokim es hashomayim ve'es ha'oretz. Shomayim, says Rashi, comes from the word Eish and Mayim. That is the first battle. These 2 elements up there, Eish and Mayim. Ve'es ha'oretz, ratz, means to run, which is movement. And Eretz is earth. And the word Shomayim is a battle between Eish and Mayim. And Oretz is a battle between the wind and earth. And these are the basic building blocks of our lives. In our body, we have all 4, right? We have bones, right, which is solids. We have liquids, water and blood. We have breath, which is, and we have also heat. We have fire. For a seed to grow, what does it need? It needs to be planted in earth, it needs water, it needs sunlight, and it needs oxygen. Everything in that we know on earth, what is it called? The climate that it needs for life. I forgot what the words are. But whatever, these 4 yesodos, the basic building blocks of our lives. And we live with them every day, every second. Says Reb Chaim Vital, something most amazing. Each of these are actually midos. Each of these are midos. What does the word mida mean? It means a measurement, right? What mida means a measurement. Am I right? Fire is a mida, is a characteristic which can be good or bad within me. Water also can be good or bad. Give me an example of what you think is a fiery personality.
Chaos.
Anger. Yeah. Right, gaiva. Right, what else? Yeah. Fire always rises to the top, and you're 100% right. What are positive elements? What are positive aspects of the elements of fire in a person? Yeah, if I'm a fiery person, is that how would that be good as well?
Warmth,
passion. Power. You know, power can be used positive or negative. But for example, the CEO of a company has to be fire. Now, everything in this room was shaped by fire. In order for me to run a company, I have to have a certain sense of, this is it. I'm able to imprint and form everything that is my fire personality. Right? Each of us have got a bit of fire within us. What is water? Water is vitality. It's life. You know, it's enjoyment. It's enjoyment. It is. In order to live, I need to get enjoyment. Look at your source sheet over here on number 2. Can you see this one of the Shari Kedusha of Reb Chaim Vital? Yeah. See the where it says Yesod Hamayim, the 4th paragraph over here. Yesod Hamayim, Mimenu Tavas Hatanugim. That is where all the ta'anugim come from. All the enjoyments come from. Kichen ha-mayim matzmichen kol minei ta'anug. Right? Mayim is always associated with enjoyment. Now fire puts out water, and water puts out fire. What is, let's say I knew that a job was very important to do. Yeah, and I'm passionate about doing it. But it is a very unenjoyable job to do. Let's say I have to take out the garbage in my home. I know that if I don't take out the garbage is going to pile up. I have a battle within me between fire and water in my personality. Because fire tells me you've got to do it. Water tells me, oh, I don't really want to do it. Right? Yeah, let's say I have a job, let's say at work, I have to do something which is going to earn me a lot of money, but is completely frustrating to me. Let's say my work environment, I have a battle within me between my Aish and my Mayim. Yeah, I really don't want to do it because it's not enjoyable for me, but I know that it's important for me to do. And therefore, it depends, am I more of a water person, or am I more of a fire person? Am I able to activate the fire within me to overcome the water? Fire puts out water, water puts out fire. That is one battle that we have. Yeah? Another battle that we have is between the earth and the wind. The wind is all about movement. The wind is about movement. It's about, here the Reb Chaim Vital says that it's all about, you know, sicha b'teila, or there are negative aspects of speech. But be'etzem, the Chachmei Kabbalah teach us that it's all about wind is movement. Earth is not movement, is stability. What is a positive, what is a negative of earth? If you say someone is an earth, is
lazy,
stubborn. What is a positive of earth?
Stable,
right? Oh, stable, reliable can bring growth, but only through earth. Salt of the earth means that it doesn't move. I can totally rely on the fact that I'm going to take a footstep. My grandfather had lunch at one, no matter what. Yeah, for 80 years he had lunch at one. It didn't matter what was happening. He had lunch at one. Now sometimes that can, I can imagine, that can be bad. If something urgent comes up, something more important comes up, it doesn't matter. Lush up. But on the other hand, I knew that if my grandfather said he's going to do it, it's as good as done. But it's a midah. It can be used for the positive. The negatives could be laziness. It could be gush, a gush afar, or someone who's stubborn. I've got my principles for principle's sake. Why? For no good reason. Yeah, for no good reason. I just principled, and they call it principle, but it's not really principled. It's just afar. Ruach is the opposite. Totally moves. Totally unreliable, but on the other hand, totally flexible. Totally is malleable, adaptable. And that is another battle between Ruach and Afar. Between Ruach and Afar. That is a very, very important battle. If you have a look at your sheet number one, I want to show you something amazing. Yeah, I want to show you something amazing. Reb Chaim Vital is basically telling us that in our lives, just like I have in my body, bones, which is earth, I've got solid, liquid, gas, and fire in my body, so too in my midos, I have four different basic ovos of midos that I have to work on. Says the Mishnah, look at your Mishnah. Arba ovos nezikinei. Hashor, habor, hamave, vaheve. Yeah, do you see that? I've quoted you three Mishnahs over here, and I want to have a look at these Mishnahs. Because the Maharsha, I think it's the Maharsha, I don't remember exactly, I think it's the Maharsha, says, Arba Ovos Mezikin, there are four Ovos of damages. The Shar is the animal, it's earth, it is the physical, and that is the first Nezek that can be. The Bar, why does someone die? Because when they fall into the Bar, there is the Hevel. The Hevel kills them, and that is wind. The Mave, the Hever is the fire. Which one are we missing? Water. Yeah, water, enjoyment. The eating is the tanugim, is the water, is the enjoyment. And the hever, which is fire. But say the mekubolim, the arba ovos nezikinhein, means also on a spiritual level, there are four basic elements that we have within us. Shomayim and Aretz Eshen Mayim, Eretz and Ratz. There are four basic ovos which can be nezikin. There are four ways to destroy chametz. What are the four ways to destroy chametz? Abosai. What are the what fire? Right, mafire of Zora LaRuach. Right, Matilayam, which is water, and Ka'afra Da'ara, Bitul Ka'afra Da'ara. Afar, Ka'afra Da'ara, that's the second Makar that I've got over here in Koshar and Psachim. Do you hear that? You destroy the chametz in four ways. How? You throw it into the fire, or you Matilayam into the water, or you mafire of Zora LaRuach, that is into the wind. Or Mevatel Ka'afra Da'ara, which is, isn't that crazy? That the Chazal in the Mishnahs are being merames to us, that we have the four elements of Strev Chaschon, the four elements of fire, water, wind, and earth, they're all Be'etzem over here. Why am I saying this, and what's it got to do with Chai Sarah, and has an introduction to this? It's an introduction. There are four holy cities that we have. What are the four holy cities?
Yerushalayim,
Tveria,
Tzfat,
and Chevron. Chevron is earth, where Sarah is buried. Water, Tveria. Tzfat is wind, right? And Yerushalayim, ki be'esh yitzata u'be'esh ata osid livnosa. Yerushalayim is esh, it's fire, it's the Shar HaShamayim. And what's happening in the parsha is that Avraham Avinu is going from Elone Mamre to Yerushalayim and back to Chevron. And what he's doing is he's going from the Yesod HaOfar to the Yesod HaEsh and back to Yesod HaOfar. And Be'etzem, what is going on over here on a deeper level, what's really going on over here is there are 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. The 10 tests of Avraham Avinu are actually there to create avhus for all of us. There's a famous Rav Chaim Volozhiner on the Asar Nisyonos. Look at it later. That's because of his ability to get up and go to Eretz Yisrael, we all have the ability in future doors to do that. Because of the Akedah, we were able to sacrifice our lives, to sacrifice our children and our families. And the makar for all of our Mesiris Nefesh comes from the Akedah. Avraham Avinu has 10 tests, which reaches Shar HaShamayim, it reaches Esh, it reaches that moment of the Akedah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him back. And what does he have to do? He has to deal with the nitty gritty. 400 shekel is over la socher, amor ma'at vasei harbe, the details of life. And that is the Nisayon. Sometimes when you've reached a ruchnius high, you think, the kleinekite, the details over here, that's something which I don't need to deal with. And that is going from Esh, you're moving back to Ofar, is the Nisayon. I see, do I have a minute? I don't have a minute.
Yeah, go.
I want to share can I share a little story?
There? Yeah. Anyone?
He's Ruach.
He's Ruach, very good. He's Ruach. Ah, someone's been listening. He's Ruach, exactly right. I want to tell a story which I heard, which is a fantastic story. I'm not going to get to the four keys, but okay. The amazing story that I heard.
Four keys.
I heard, it's okay, it's alright, don't worry about it. No one would have noticed had I not said that right now. It's great, it's all good. About a year and a half ago I heard this story. There were two gentlemen who learned together in yeshiva about 30 years ago in Torah Vadas, New York. After they finished, what they did was they decided they were going to be chavrusas. They worked in the city during the day. In the evening, they worked for chavrusas. One day in about 2010, one chavrusa turns to another and says, Yankel, I need your help. opportunity for help. Business isn't going so well. I need a loan. Yeah, and I can't get it from the bank. Well, I really need a loan to save my business. Friend's like, okay, how much do you need? So this is a big one. I need $250,000. I need to borrow $250,000.
Wow.
Turns around to you know, I'm not a rich man. You know, let me think about it. Goes home. He speaks to his wife. Cut the long story short. His wife says, are you Meshuggah? You know, we just finished paying off our house. He says, look, you know what? He's a close friend. I know you know he's going to pay me back. So what am I going to do? He went to the bank and he took out a mortgage. On his $1 million home. He took out a mortgage for $250,000. Bank made him sign a whole bunch of papers. And and the next day he goes to his friend, gives him... I can't thank you enough. It's unbelievable. You've saved my life. What happens is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? 2 years later, in 2012, Hurricane Sandy comes along and destroys, wipes out so many houses in New York. The roads where this gentleman lives, all the houses get totally flooded. Many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. I think it was $70 billion of damage by Hurricane Sandy in the year 2012 when it hit New York City. Not completely wiped out. 20 years ago, when everyone was taking out their mortgage, no one signed an anti-hurricane insurance. On that street, there was only one house that had anti-hurricane insurance, and that was this gentleman who had lent because he had to retake out a mortgage.
Wow.
The only house that was paid for fully by the mortgage by the insurance company was this gentleman who had taken out a loan to help his friend. You know, the chesed always comes round, always comes back to us. I heard the story, and I've been speaking to a friend this week about it, and I think it's such a choshev story. It's a story for us nowadays, that be'etzem, the chesed of Avraham Avim, that we learned last week's parasha, this week's parasha, whatever goes, comes back, shlach lachem cha pnei hamayim, achre yominam tim tse'ena, and that is mamish, for today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless us all. I'm not sure. The Valley culture.